damit ein recht herzliches Hallo an alle da draußen und willkommen zur 6. Folge unseres TNW-Podcasts vom Parkett ans Mikro. Mein Name ist Lars Pastor und ich darf auch ganz herzlich meinen Co-Host willkommen heißen, Nick Castellan. Hallo Nick.
Hallo Lars.
Ja, wir sind immer noch im Dancecomp-Modus. Der ist immer noch aktiv. Heute ist Samstag von der Dancecomp und das World Open Latein hat auch schon angefangen. Unten tanzen die Paare gerade, glaube ich, in Jive, was ich gehört habe. Also die sind schon alle am Schwitzen. Und ihr wisst ja, das Ergebnis auf jeden Fall. Bitte nicht spoilern, denn wir wollen das Finale heute Abend natürlich auch noch sehen. Also das bitte für euch behalten. Wir wollen die Spannung hier trotz Dancecomp, das wir ein bisschen im Voraus produzieren, hochhalten. Und deswegen haben wir auch ganz spezielle Gäste für euch hier beim vom Parkett ans Mikrofon Podcast. Sie sind deutsche Meister in den Standardtänzen und die Drittplatzierten der letzten Weltmeisterschaft Standard in Rimini. Begrüßt bitte mit uns zusammen aus Stuttgart Violetta und Thomas Feinsiel. Hallo.
Hallo.
Hallo, hallo, hallo. So, it's very nice to welcome you to our small indie project.
Yeah, it's great. It's an amazing opportunity for us because we always wanted to do a podcast.
So thank you for having us. Wow. So you took advantage already of one of our questions, which is what is one of your bucket list points. So this was on your bucket list. You wanted to do a podcast. So yes, now you need to think about something new because we will have this question later.
Okay, and we can improvise.
Just improvise it, exactly. Have it already a little bit back in your mind. We will come back to this later. Yeah, so our podcast is mostly, or is just about our guests, which we have on the show. So it's about you. And we want, and the people listening, of course, want to know, how did you come to dancing? How is it in your youth, probably? How was the first contact with dancing? I see signs right and left, who shall start?
Let Thomas start. My story is more complicated.
Yeah, actually, I started to dance because I should get out of horrors, and I had a very unsuccessful concert where I just ruined everything, and my teacher of singing advised me to go to dancing. So I said, okay, this will be my next adventure. I should go now dance instead of sing. And it was once I was 4 years old.
So with 4 years, you started to dance?
Yes.
That's early.
Yes. I mean his career of singer already finished at four.
Yeah.
So
I stopped at four to sing and started to dance.
Okay. That's early for both things, I guess. Yes. And then you you danced directly competitive dancing with 4 years? Or
It was kindergarten, so I just, you know, started with some kind of, I don't know, funny dancing like polka or something, cha-cha. And then from 7, I started to compete.
Okay, so 7.
7, yeah.
It's still early.
Yeah, still early.
And then you dance through all the normal classes.
Yes, like normal classes, 4 dances, then 6 dances, then 8 dances, then 10 dances.
This we don't have in Germany. We have actually 6. Nah, 8 dances we don't have. 6 dances also not now, really. As you had it like a competition where it was 6 dances, yeah? So
yes,
all judged together.
Yes, like you dance 3 dances of standard, 3 dances of Latin.
And it was a combined result.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So this we don't have in Germany. We just have 10 dance from youth or from junior category. We don't even have this.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Don't be sorry. It's not our decision.
No problem.
Well, maybe it would be an idea to integrate. Yeah. Okay. So, and who brought you to dance in the end?
Myself, because they said that I cannot sing anymore because I don't know the words, and it made sense. So I said, then I want to dance. Bring me to the dance.
But you did not see like dancing. You just said like, I want to dance.
Yeah, I just want to dance. Okay. Because in that concert, which I ruined, I start to dance.
Instead of singing.
Okay.
Instead of singing. So, you know, it's like a chorus of boys. Everyone is standing and singing something. And I'm just spreading everyone and going in the middle and starting to dance.
Okay, I understand. And then you said, I want to continue this.
Yes, what I already started, it have to be
continued. And it was in Lithuania, yes?
Yes, it was in Lithuania.
In Lithuania. Okay, and Violeta, now comes your complicated story.
Yeah, my story of dancing. So I also started to dance at 4, but it was my kind of wish because my parents wanted to do me ballet, so I did ballet. I started also going to English lessons because my parents wanted me also to speak, you know, like all the parents, you want to speak 10 languages, best at school, best in sports. So they put me in the ballet classes and I did some gymnastics also to just, you know, for it's better for health, they thought. So then I made English and then I said, okay, but what can I do for myself? I would like to dance. And then my father said, okay, I also want you to play piano. So let's do like this. You play piano and then you can go to ballroom dancing. So I was, okay. So I had all of these things on top of the dancing, but the dancing was the only thing that I really wanted. So at 4, I started to dance. And yeah, like Thomas said also, till 7 years old is nothing professional. You just go with the kids to some competitions. You dance one dance. There is no hairstyle or something. So you just, you know, going hanging out. So, but I really enjoyed it. From all the activities that I did, the dancing was the only thing that I really liked. And I'm so happy that at the age of 14, I stopped my ballet career because I already was too tall. So I also finished my piano career. So I was just free, you know, to continue to dance.
Yeah. And then you both did both categories of dancing. Yeah. So yeah. Latin and ballroom. So how was your Latin career?
Mine was definitely better than standard until I met Thomas.
Okay, so I just want to say, then I want to see something now. If you said it's still
yes,
better now.
I'm so happy that it's podcast. That is
You're like...
Actually, all my life I was dancing more Latin than standard, but somehow always the result was better in standard. Mm-hmm. So if I was a youth or a junior too, I would go to 2 or 3 camps of Latin and 1 camp only standard and still end up better result in standard. So it was just natural for me, green flag, choose standard and drop Latin, that's it.
I also think it because, first of all, he was born in Lithuania, which is mostly a standard country. So there is no so many Latin teachers, Latin camps, everybody do standard there. And most of the time, people are very tall. So these are two factors that was Lithuania and very tall. Yeah. So I think it was built like this.
Yeah, it's true, actually, when I think about it. But yeah, interesting, but that is because of this, that it's a borrowed country. So then when you did start dance together, at which point? I mean, you are both from Lithuania. You both dance in the same country. So it's actually not that big country in cooperation like with Germany.
Yeah, here's the complicated story.
Oh, now we come to the complicated part.
So usually when people ask us, like, where are you from? I'm confused to tell them because I was born in Kazakhstan, actually, in half German family. So I started to dance there and I lived there till 14. And then, of course, Kazakhstan is the country that is not really well known in Europe. And we was always traveling to Europe for competitions. And then all of my teachers was also from Europe. And just at the age of 14, I realized that there is no more future for me because I was quite tall. There was no partners. I was already many times Kazakhstan champion. So I really thought that I need to move somewhere else because I felt like the future is not there for me. So I decided to move to Moscow at 14 because my teacher find me a partner. So I start to live there and I danced there till 17. And then Thomas, it was actually like this. Some guy called me on Facebook, which I ignored. Like, who are you? Why are you calling me? Very strange. So I declined the call and then I got the message from him like, hey, how are you? I would like to maybe try to make a couple with you. And I was like very confused. I had the partner. So why you think that I'm searching for somebody else? And I said, you know, I already have a partner. So thank you. Thank you and good luck. And
then he wrote, but do you want to be successful?
And then you called again.
And actually, this was an interesting twist, because actually I knew that she has a partner, and I knew what kind of partnership she is in. And I knew that she's a very good dancer, because one of our known friends dancers advised me to contact her, because it can be a very, very good fit for me and we can be a very good couple. So I was searching for a dance partner already for like 2 months, and I found out about Violeta, and I thought, okay, this is my job to find a partner that really is the best for me. So I just tried. I say, okay, if she wants to try, it's up to her. If she don't, okay, I at least tried. So I started to text. She didn't reply. I started to call, because I understand that, okay, I see that it really can be a good couple. I should do everything. So after calling one time, second time, she replied that she's not interested. And she has a partner, and she answered very polite. I understood. But deep inside, I thought, okay, this is not the end. Because after that message, I stopped searching for a lady. Like, I just stopped my searches and waited for something. I don't know what. And after 2 weeks...
He actually wrote me, like, you know, thank you very much for your reply, but life is unexpected. And I was like, wow, the audacity of him to write me. Okay,
anyway, that guy.
And after 2 weeks, audacity worked out, because she wrote me.
Yeah, I wrote him back, because I started to have a not very good relationship with my previous partner.
In these 2 weeks?
Yes, and...
suddenly.
I mean, it was... nothing is perfect in every couple, but in these 2 weeks, like, a lot of events happened, so I was like, escalated. Okay, you know, maybe this was a fate or something, so, okay, I will try. I just wrote him. And I wrote him, like, do you still searching for somebody?
And you're like, ka-ching! Yes, finally!
Just waited for you.
Yes, yes. It was true. Actually, I was waiting for her. And we organized a tryout when she was traveling in Europe and having competition, and then that's it.
Yeah, I came to Lithuania, to Vilnius. We met at the airport. It was very awkward because...
I can imagine.
Because we never met, but he was partly writing me in English, but then something in Russian, so I don't know. Do you speak Russian or what? He said, yeah, you know, I learned from some TV shows. I said, okay, Lithuania was also Soviet Union, so probably his parents speak Russian. And when I arrived and I heard he's Russian, I said, no, let's speak English. Because the thing was that he was learning Russian from the comedy show, which was very like, nobody speak like this.
Like a slang.
Yeah, a slang, yeah.
Understand. And I was like, you know, no, better.
So instead of cool, English. I sound stupid, but it was funny. Kind of funny.
But you tried. I didn't know Lithuanian, so.
But you communicated at that point in English, and then the first time just English, English, English. Yes, yes, and yes. Then and who then learned?
Oh, I mean, it was also very complex, because I was 17, I was nearly turning 18, so I supposed to go to university, and I already was in university in Moscow, so I needed to, you know, to reapply to some other universities in Europe in order to get residence permit, this document.
Yeah, permission, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I just thought that the only opportunity for me to get this document is to go to Lithuanian university. So I had like 6 months to spare, and I was just, I don't know, I was speaking with him Russian. He was replying to me in Lithuanian. The thing that I didn't understand, I asked him in English. And also our teacher speak with us like part Lithuanian, part English. So I learned for, I don't know, maybe a few months. Already I started to speak Lithuanian, and then I got to university. And he, because he was talking with me all the time, he learned Russian perfectly. Like, he can write, he can speak. And
because I already have some kind of basics from school and from TV shows. So one of our friend dancer said, now speak with him only Russian. So in this way, I was forced to learn Russian, and it was a very good thing. it eased our communication together. And then because Violeta has like a difficult part in university and she had to learn, she learned very fast also.
So we speak together. When I speak Lithuanian all the time, my Russian gone very bad because I only speak with my mom and my like my family. And I speak Lithuanian now better than Russian,
better
I think.
Than Russian.
And Thomas speak perfectly also Russian. So yeah.
But you communicate in Lithuanian.
Yes.
And German, of course. Yeah.
Yes,
of course.
Do not forget the German.
Guten Morgen, every day.
You said it already that you had a German part in your family.
Yes.
Tell us something about
yes.
that.
Yes, my mom is German. So the thing was that after the Second World War, my relatives moved to Kazakhstan because they was German refugees. So they came to Soviet Union, to the part which was Kazakhstan. And my father is half Ukrainian, half Russian, because his family came from Ukraine to also to Kazakhstan to help with some, you know, scientific stuff. So, yeah, in the end, my family, all of them was born in Germany. And in 1992, I think, or 1993, my family wanted to go back to Germany because my mom had all the relatives there. But then, you know, my father already started to work there. My older brother had already started school. So they decided, you know, let's just live there. And then once I moved to Moscow, they already were thinking about to maybe move back to Germany because my mom really wanted to come back because all her family even didn't speak Russian fully. So she had like a very big cultural thing with her family, so they thought maybe I get a passport and I come back. And at the time, I also got a passport because I'm her daughter, so my whole family moved to Germany, I also got a passport. And then when we was representing Lithuania, we just decided to represent Germany because our teachers said to us it's a very good country to represent. And we said, yes, let's do it, and that was it.
You had the passport already, so it was no problem. Huh?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So your family is still living in Germany?
Yes, they live in Germany. I also have a lot of aunts and uncles somewhere, but they are all across Germany, so I don't know where they are, but yeah, I have...
whole family.
Yeah.
That's also nice. Is there... do you have some goals? Of course, you are very close to the top of the dancing standard world right now. Are there any goals you have except... I guess you will want to become world champion when you are already third. It's close, but still far away. Yeah. Are there any other goals you want to achieve in your dancing career, or maybe even after you stop dancing in some distant future? Are there any goals you have to go like into a federation, maybe to have an office? I don't know how to call it in English.
Yeah, we have a lot of goals. Both in dancing and both in our family life and also in our future life. But I would say for now, like the clear future is, of course, to become world champions.
Yeah,
to get the title. How much the future will show us, but we will do our best to just got it at least one time. And then, of course, we would like to, you know, there are some for every dancer, there are some goals that you would like to achieve. For example, for us, it always was interesting to dance I don't remember how it's called before, but now I think it's called...
World Dance... Superstar Festival. Yeah.
But it was called like this before. I don't know how it's called now, but
you mean the
show in Tokyo.
Yes. World Superstars Dance. No, this.
Yeah, it's called differently now, I think. But the older ones was World Dance Superstar Festival.
Yes.
So
yes.
This one will be amazing to do because we was growing up to watching
to watch the
shows,
videos. Yes.
To just feel, you know, this floor. Yeah, but a lot of goals that we already had, like to dance show in German Open, was already like completed, but it was just the dream come true. And but for the future family life, Thomas have a lot of goals. I think he always tell me like, we will do that and we will do this. And I don't know. I just try to see in a few years only, because then you never know what can happen.
True.
Well, okay. I'm fine with that answer.
Yeah, it's like mainly the focus is now is dancing. So we have our vision, we have our understanding what we'd like to have, but this is the first big next step. So this is what we are focusing now. This is like our main goal. And once we achieve this, we will move to the next.
That's yeah, I mean, we have hobbies outside of dancing.
We come to your free time. We will still come later.
How do you deal with setbacks in your career? Have you an example for us? How did you deal with them?
I don't know if there is any example of setback, but I really personally like the setback. Mm-hmm. Like a maybe bad comp, I like, because this is the competition experience you can learn from. And normally, once you get good competition, get good result, it's like sun is shining, everything is good, and it's very difficult to take lesson from that. And normally, it's now it's not very often that we get setbacks, because we also, with our experience, we start to don't have those big extremes. Mm-hmm. But if we consider something as a setback or as a something going wrong, we learn from it and we take a lot of benefit from it. Mm-hmm. It's more like a lesson. So
very good.
I don't even think that there are setbacks, like mm-hmm. that you really call it that, because especially in sports and art, it's always like a learning process. And if you was, I don't know, drawing for 10 years mm-hmm. and every year your painting is become better and better, it doesn't mean that the last year painting was already worse than this one. It's just different. And I think it's a part of the growth and process. So every time that something happens, let's say, which is considered as a setback, or now, especially when we have our students or just kids around, they say this thing that, oh, we feel unmotivated, or, you know, we have don't really believe that we can achieve something. I think, especially for us, our childhood was very, very different, but also very alike, mm-hmm. because we was grown as people who never give up. And if it's, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, this kind of thing. So for us, we never had setbacks. We had like this more of the appetite, you know, more you become more even hungry. So I would not say that there was never days we were just laying and crying and just, I don't know, thinking like, oh, the life is finished, mm-hmm. it's ruined. No, it always was like, okay, what are we gonna do now to make it better? So, yeah. I don't know, probably because of our parents, as I also said, our childhood. Because his parents and my parents always was very like, come on, you can do it. Like
very supportive, yeah.
Yeah, and also very, let's say, so this is the thing, all the time I was asked, like, you was, my father was an Olympic also athlete in, you know, wrestler. So I was always asked, like, and I have German mama, so, you know, it's very good combination. So they was always asking me, like, yes, but why you don't do it better than the other kid or the other kid? And maybe in some part it was sometimes I was feeling like I want this setback and feeling of sadness and pitiness to myself. But this is, I think, what really brought us forward, because his parents always also was the same, like, come on, you can do better. You need to be the best. If you finish something, you need to. If you started something, you need to finish it. So I don't know. I think it's because of childhood we have this mentality.
Yeah, and also the way we treat setback, I would say, is not. It's not like it's just a sign that one more time, like we're gonna do it one more time and we do it differently. And if maybe we repeat the same thing and we deal with the same kind of, let's say, setback, it means that again and again we have to do and change something, and probably we didn't learn.
But when we came here, actually, in this podcast, I was thinking, like, if there are a question about some motivation or, like, how you train as an athlete, I really didn't want us to say things that, you know, you can see in every movie, motivational movie. Like, no, it's not like this. For us especially, we just learned that to be overdoing something is also bad because you can burn out easily. And we need to remember that it's also an art. So if you don't have your soul in it, your body will not do it. Yes, we are also in sport, but if you're a runner, you still have the thing of passion and love for your sport. But it's mostly, let's say, physical-wise. But when you go to perform, I understand that a lot of dancers think, like, you know, you need to stand up 5 a.m., run 10 kilometers, and then, I don't know, eat a lot of protein, and then you don't have any social life or you don't have anything except of your sport. I think this is what I really wanted to say and answer to this question, that if you have maybe the moment in life when you feel like something is not going forward, maybe you don't need to push it anymore so much. Maybe you need to take a rest, or maybe something in your head is not correct. So it's a lot of recipes how to move forward. Just, I wanted to say it just for listeners who, I don't know, on their career or the teachers or somebody who have something with sport, that it's not like in the movie, that you wake up and you do it every day no matter what. No, it's not like this. And I think it's, for somebody it works, for somebody it doesn't. So for us, we never pushed ourselves in terms of, how to say, to bring the burnout to you, but we pushed ourselves in terms of motivation and what we can do better. Maybe even the rest will make it better. Or maybe, I don't know, working with some psychologists will make it better. So it's not just going to hall and dying there for 10 hours. Especially if you're on the level where you have, like, you know, this higher result, but it's not, you're not beginner anymore, but you are somewhere already 10 plus years in your career. So this is what I really wanted to say, that it's not really like, you know, you go, you kill yourself in the hole and everything will happen. No.
Yeah, it's a lot of parts extra except the training in the hole.
Yeah.
Assuming, yeah. The diet, the physical exercises, the mental preparation and everything is counting, especially on your level, which is very, very high, on to get the last percent out of it. It's just not enough 10 hours in the hall. And it's also not good just 10 hours in the hall.
Totally.
You would just burn out as fast as you can see. Yes, so we are at a point in our show where we come to a questionnaire. So we have a questionnaire which contains 10 questions, which we ask all our guests. So they're the same questions for everyone. And it's the first time we do it in English, so
great.
We see how it goes. The first, there are 5 questions which contain a little bit about dancing, 5 which actually don't have to do with dancing at all. Some of you, some of these questions you answered already, so thank you for that. We just skipped them. No, it doesn't matter. But this what you said just before was a perfect example for one of the questions. But it's okay. It was very good to hear for everybody listening. So the first question, very easy one, is coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Okay. This was the question. This was the first time where it was just like, how dare you?
I mean, we are that people who do these rituals in the morning with filtered coffee, waiting our coffee beans, grounding our coffee beans. Our best friend was barista and he also roasting his own coffee. So yeah, coffee.
Definitely coffee. Okay, it's good to know. I mean, we had one tea already, so Christina was self surprised that she is the tea one. Because Marius told her, you drink tea, not coffee. And she was like, ah, yeah, all right, I'll drink tea.
I forgot.
She just forgot. So, okay, coffee, no problem. Do you have any pets at home?
No.
No, I mean, I had when I was living with my parents. So So I consider them my pets, but they was the one who was taken care of. But no, our pets wouldn't have.
Do you want pets?
Yes.
Yes.
We want a dog very much.
But I always say we have to stop traveling, otherwise he will die.
Yes, mean, probably if your traveling calendar, travel calendar is probably not suitable right now for
we're literally living on the plane.
Now, for example, we was 2 months last year. We was 2 months away from home, so even our plants died. Like you know, which you the one usually if we go to buy a plant, we say the one who is just
living. Without water.
It cannot kill it. Yeah. But we still killed it. So.
I believe even plastic ones we could kill.
Yeah, plastic one. Even the plastic one could melt, I think.
But you don't do it intentionally. Yeah, it's not.
No.
So we just never
even
there.
Even this one week.
We just shut the door and say, stay strong till we come back.
Water in the fridge. Help yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you a day without dancing, or what do your day? What do you do on a day when you don't dance, or is there a day in your week where you didn't dance?
I mean, you mean the one that we're not traveling, or the day before comms, the day out.
This is the day off in the plane.
In a perfect world,
we do a lot of stuff actually.
Yeah. This is the thing what I said before, like even if you see our social media, okay, my social media, because my husband is not really socially active. But everybody asks, like, where you have time? You cook, like you do this and you do that. But actually, if there is a day off without any traveling or something, we try to sleep as much as possible. Because I'm the early bird, he's not. But even when the day is like free, I still wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I try to, you know, to be a more normal person, to sleep at least till 9. Never happened. But then we just, this is the bad thing, because we usually do some chores, like we wash our stuff, we clean apartment. But if we take out all the things that we need to do, we usually go for a walk. We meet with our friends for sure. And I think we will just have time for ourselves, because very often we can be in one room and he can read a book and I can read my book and it is just silent. You know, it's very nice. This is like a day off for us.
Doing something personally, probably giving time for ourselves.
Yeah.
This would be because normally we all the time together, traveling together, dancing together, practicing together, teaching together. So sometimes we need that time to, okay, I do my thing, you do your thing.
Yes, this is very crucial, because for couples who work together, dance together, and then live together, I think it's very important to have the individual time, because otherwise you're disappearing into the other person.
You just melt into one.
You just don't know anymore what you like, what you don't like.
Who am I right now? Yeah. So, did you have any favorite subjects in school? Or university?
For me, it definitely was English, because it was the easiest one for me. So I was always watching movie in English. So for me, English was the best and the favorite one.
I liked math. Like the only thing I really liked to learn, but basically I didn't like school.
I'm just never was there.
In general,
yes, I just I hated it. Against it. Yeah.
Okay, we spoke about a dance-free day, but when we are like, for example, tomorrow, how's a competition day for you? Are there some rituals you have to keep? So do you have to help her with something, or is he like Marius, he cannot speak with anybody until they meet on the floor?
Yeah, we have our rituals. I don't know, just...
Basically, I always watch Last Dance TV show, if it's about basketball.
Yeah, we started the day before.
I don't know why, but I always watch the same show on repeat. There's 10 episodes and wherever I stopped, I just continue and watch day before, 2 days before, or the day of competition.
So you just keep watching this?
Yeah, like you already watched it like probably 15 times.
Yes.
So for all listeners who don't know what this is the documentary on Netflix about Michael Jordan.
Yes.
And who doesn't know Michael Jordan should stop now and go to YouTube like, and enter Michael Jordan.
Yes. go to
Netflix, watch it, and then come back and continue this one. So you have it always locked and loaded and watch it for motivational reasons. Yes.
It's like Michael Jordan is a very big inspiration to me as a human being, as an athlete. His mindset's like I am totally matching what he thinks, the way he speaks. So it's just like I cannot say watching to myself from outside because it's not, but it's just like reaffirming and like reassuring that this kind of person there is, and he achieved great successes, and it's just giving me extra energy. I don't know.
Is it like when you're on the floor in some, I don't know, semi-final, quarter-final, and then somebody bumps into you and you're just like, and I took that personal?
Yes.
And then you just destroy them. Yeah?
Yes.
For me, I always also watch one movie all the time, Burlesque. I don't know, it just relax me and also give me this character playing, you know. One thing that I learned for this very long career of ours, that for me, because I'm very much introvert in my personal life, and you're supposed to be a very big extrovert on the floor, this movie just helps me to get into this character of, you know, I don't know, I cannot explain it in words. It's just I love Christina Aguilera in this movie. And I always watch it just to get this inspiration before going on the floor. But I have the ritual that all the dancers, when they see, like, what are you doing? Between the rounds, I always watch Rick and Morty. I don't speak. I don't go, I don't know, watching some other competitions. No, I sit and I watch Rick and Morty.
Between the rounds.
Because it takes my mind off analyzing what we did, because I'm a very big overthinking person. So if I start to, you know, the worst thing for me is to film the round before, watch this round during our break, then I become very much overwhelmed. So I just watch Rick and Morty.
I mean, there are also not so many episodes out. It's just
I just rewatch.
And you just rewatch. So it's Last and just Rick and Morty for them. Okay, Rick and Morty and Last Dance. I have to settle for that. I never heard this. Is unbelievable, but it's really interesting that how everybody is just taking some things for themselves and say, this is how I function the best, and nobody can tell you that is wrong, because your career and your results and your dancing are speaking for themselves. And so whoever wants to watch some Netflix episodes between the rounds, nobody can tell you it's wrong, because obviously we see in Thomas Violetta, it's working. I mean, maybe it's the secret also.
Maybe, but it's just, there is no wrong, there is no right, I think, in the personal preparation.
So just don't let yourself get put in a box and from somebody else said how you have to prepare and how to have mental preparation for yourself. If you want to watch Last Dance 15 times before, or in general 15 times, then feel free.
I mean,
it's very motivational series for sure. I watched it also with Rick and Morty. I'm not so sure if it's especially for our junior dancers. Maybe it's not the best motivational series on Netflix.
Yes, but little kids, if you're watching, this is not for motivation. This is only for my
it is a
mental
cartoon.
Health.
It is a cartoon, but please be advised. It's not, I think it's
16 plus.
Yes, please be advised. Also, parents, don't show your kids before a competition Rick and Morty, because Violetta Feinzi is watching it.
I mean, now I feel like a bad influence on people.
No, it's super. It's very, very interesting. It's really good. And that you both have the show which you watch.
Yeah.
So this is also that...
I only now actually realize that we both have the same show to watch. Just he do it before the comp, I do it during the comp. So it's never was like we're never sitting together watching something. But,
so,
yeah.
But when he's watching Last Dance, what are you doing then?
Usually the day before the comp, I cannot meet with any people. I need to...
Except today? Sorry about that.
No. I mean people who are like shopping malls, competitions, when there are a lot of energy from other people who I don't know, or maybe who is watching you, and I stay at home. I mean, hotel or an apartment, and I just usually what I do is I very, very slowly preparing for my comp. I wash my makeup brushes. This is actually the ritual that I always do by myself. I always do my makeup by myself, no matter like how much there are of artists who can do it better. I still do it myself. It's just a kind of relaxation for me. I put my rigor mortis on the bed. I do my makeup and I feel more relaxed. Like I have something under control. And but the day before is just, you know, like you prepare the dress, you go to the shop just to buy some groceries. But if he's laying on the bed and watching the show, probably I'm in some other room reading or washing my makeup brushes. That's it. Nothing special.
Okay. And Thomas, when she's watching Rick and Morty between the rounds, what are you doing at this point?
Normally I do nothing, but really nothing. Like I try to sit and relax, like breathe, maybe do some breathing exercise, maybe go for a food or to prepare some drinks for the next round. So basically just...
prepare some drinks.
Yeah, yeah. Some cocktails, you know. That
Cosmopolitan.
Cosmopolitan for the final.
Some long drinks, yeah. Champagne magnesium. Is cold already, yeah. Yes.
No, magnesium.
Yeah, so I like this very much because it's like I do little maintenance for our couple. And
she shall just relax.
Yeah, she just need to disconnect. And I'm... the opposite. I'm very much connected. I'm checking when we dance. Like I want to have all the information possible to be ready for the next.
That's of course also your job.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah.
And I hate when I sit with headphones and somebody going to you to ask something. I'm like, okay. I'm with the headphones.
Okay, if anybody's listening, you know what not to do when you see Violetta with headphones on. Please do not disturb her Rick and Morty episode.
Yes.
Even if it's a 20th reword already.
Yes.
Are you already mouthing the words?
Yeah, I mean, I already can close my eyes and I know what will happen. So I just, it's like, you know, to take my mind off it. And I started to watch the other shows. I even brought book one time, but it's impossible because there are a lot of noise, so you cannot read. And the other episodes, if there are another TV show, I really need to watch too much interested in, you know, like you really need to focus. But with Rick and Morty, it's easy. You already know what happens, so yeah. It will be not disappointment.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I could talk now for 1 hour more about these two shows. I believe it. I'm really interested. We go to the next question.
Okay.
I mean, we skipped some already. You answered them already, so we have time for different questions. Do you have a favorite dance? It doesn't have to be a ballroom dance.
Yes, if I warm up, I usually, this is also very strange, or it's
the Rick and Morty,
Eminem.
The Rick and Morty theme song, yeah.
No, it's three of them. If I'm warm up, I have Eminem or some rock music, or it's samba.
Okay.
Always samba rhythm with me. For me, it's the best dance out of the 10 dances. I like to watch it. In ballroom, we didn't have specifically the favorite dance because it's always changing. Depends on the choreography, what you feel, what you're working on. But if I watch, I like very much to watch samba.
Thomas?
Watch, yeah, definitely samba. But
to dance.
To warm up probably would be Foxtrot. And in general, all the dances... it's like you get in the mood for the dance, so then you like it.
Yeah.
You're in the mood for tango, you like tango.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
This I had also always, I could never decide which is my favorite Latin dance. It was always like, now it comes samba, first dance of the round, and I'm just like, yeah, I want to dance samba now. And then comes cha-cha, and I was like, yeah, now it's samba. And then comes rumba, and I was like, now I fear Roma, and then was Paso Doble and then Jive. It was always like, if I think about the dances, then I was like, I want to dance this now.
Yeah. Yes, you switch.
And it was yeah. Do you have a favorite figure? I mean, also not what you have in your own choreography, maybe something else, what you saw, which...
Mine would be definitely Natural Turn. Natural Turn.
Natural Turn.
I have in figure that I don't like.
Natural Turn in Slow Boss.
Yes, yeah.
The favorite figure, I would say Feather Step
in Fox Street.
But I more have like a least favorite figures.
Least favorite figures.
Like I don't have like specific favorite figures, but least favorite figures I have.
Do you want to share one with us?
Yeah, I can. Like,
yeah, do maybe one.
Counter check, like
in tango.
Yes, in any dance. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just counter check in
just
general.
I don't get it. I just there are so many ways to dance it, but yeah.
Okay, but we don't want to go in this non-favorite figure. But a special favorite figure you don't have. It's also situational, yeah.
Yeah, let's say the best of them for me, it's Feather Step, mostly all of them are the same.
And Feather Step, probably you trained also very often already in your life, yes.
Every day.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to master still, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. What you wished you would have known in the beginning of your career, what you know now?
Oh.
Amazing question.
Thank you very much. Just, it's maybe a tip also for our under 16 dancers.
Yes, very good.
Need to think about this one actually.
We have time.
Okay.
I would say that when I started to dance, I wanted to win. Doesn't matter what. But for me, it looked like the result was very important. Now I realize that no matter which result would we have in our life, we will still continue to dance. We will still continue to practice. And I already said one time that if somebody will come now to us and say, we will give you now the world championship medal, would you stop to dance? And or you continue to dance, but you don't know how it will turn out, I would choose the second version. And probably to all the people who are now in this age of, you know, youth, when the school becoming more difficult, maybe university is already starting, and they don't know to continue to dance or know what will happen. Of course, result is very important in our sport, like in any sport. But I would say that I would say to myself that focus more on the journey of the dancing. Don't run for the result, but run more for this moment that ballroom dancing brought to your life, like all the travels, all the camps, all the meetings. I mean, it was very exciting life. And I would say to myself at the age of 14, when I thought like, yeah, maybe we need to stop it. Like, maybe it doesn't go anywhere. So this I would like to know in the beginning, that it's not about result. It's more about the living the life of a dancer and the emotions that you get from it.
Thomas?
I would say it's more like an advice that don't be afraid of mistake, because once I was young... not that I'm very old now, but once I was a junior or youth, I was always afraid to make a mistake, because this is how the lesson is built. You have to correct, you have to make it right, you have to make it perfect, and perfect do not exist. So, and I'm, as a person and also Violeta, we are perfectionists, so it's like for us it's hell to make a mistake. And for me it was... I cannot make mistakes, and it was my biggest, stop for development. And so I would advise that strive for mistake, make the mistake and then fix it better. I understand why you're fixing it better and try to grow from it, because this is necessary part to go to the life you want. And I was quite young once I was obsessed with dancing, with the whole dance world, the dance life, this travels. So this was never an issue. But I would say also another advice would be that to live in it and not to search for like a final end, but like Violeta say, enjoy more the process to it.
Yeah, we have a lot of students, or we see a lot of kids dancing who just somehow only focusing in winning something. Even I think when we are was focusing on the win, for us it was on the winning dancing. Like, it's better for me to dance good and be second than to dance not good and be first. And but now I see it's majority of kids thinking like, okay, a result is not coming, let's stop it.
Yeah.
But this is not about the result. It's more about you dance because you like it. And I would say to the people who are 16, 14, the age where you already start to be mostly adult, you still start to analyze yourself. Watch into the history of dancing first, because you would love it, because it's filled with the, like, now it's the top of the iceberg, what we have now in our federation and also in our couples. But before, all these champions and all this changing of the rules and figures and development, it's very interesting. So just look up the history and probably you will find the second love, not just in result.
So this brings us to a good point, because you just said it. Did you have, when you were growing up or going in this age, did you have any dances to which you were looking, or to who you were looking up?
This is so strange, because we had our teachers when we were small, Mirko and Edita. Edita Kozali, yeah. And Mirko Kozali. I mean, I will start because Thomas is more complex, I think, his story. I just had in my closet two photos. One photo of Arunas and Edita, and one photo of Mirko and Alessia. And I always thought I would like to see them together. And once they start to dance together, I was like, yes, finally, I want to see them live. I never saw them live. I only was watching them by videos. And the first time when I saw them live, it was when we was having a tryout at 17. So they are still in lesson when they dance. I think to myself, how did I end up here? And how amazing they are as a people and also as a dancer. So this is, for me, our two most inspiring models in dancing.
Yeah, this is also mine idols, Mirko and Edita. And it just was like, once I was youth, I was always thinking, I would like to live a life of a top dancer. And once I came to the camp where I saw Mirko and Edita first as a couple, and once I saw them there, I understood that I would like to live a life like theirs. It's like, it's just amazing. And to be close to them would be a very, very good opportunity. And after 2 or 3 years, we became their students. So it's like a dream come true.
He also had some inspiration from Jackson all the time. And I heard also from his mom, like, he was dancing when he was small to Jackson. But yeah, it doesn't relate from the dancing.
Yes,
but
yes, not our world, but Jackson was very, very big inspiration, I think, to many dancers. But for me, it was like...
you mean Michael Jackson?
Michael, yes. Jackson, yeah. It was like a very, very big figure, which gave me a love to dance. Joy to dance.
Yeah,
yeah. It's copying and listening music, yeah. Was
really inspirational dancer, yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I had some more questions, but they took it away from me. Okay, thank you. So one question was, is there a reason why you would stop dancing? So you answered this. Thank you very much. And we have the bucket list question, which you also answered already, but I said already to you that you need to think about something else. Is there something else on your bucket list?
Bucket list, you mean in our career or in our life?
Whatever you want.
Oh, just...
just one thing. The top thing on your bucket list right now. Except maybe becoming world champion.
Mm. So next one.
I mean, to dance in Tokyo, this show.
Yeah.
I would say, yes. Because it's, let's say, it's... it's very possible in the future to achieve. It's not like, you know, travel somewhere sometime. So it's very close goal to us. And to dance the show in Tokyo. I mean, this year we already will dance in Tokyo in the other festival. So, you know, maybe next year or one day.
Little step a little bit closer, maybe.
Yes, for sure. You're already in the right city. So this you can check already. So half is already done. We just need to do the other thing. So yes, this is, I think, our questionnaire. Thank you very much for answering so honest also that you gave us so many insights in your rituals and everything, so that the people know when and when not to speak to you when they see you on the competition. No, but it's also important when they want to speak maybe to you and they're fans of you and they just want to say hi, and then you're actually in your preparation or in your episodes, and then you're actually more a little bit tense than...
Yeah, it's, you know, when we was growing up and we see these big dancers who was preparing for the some competition, we was even afraid to come to tell something.
Yes, for sure.
But as now I understand that... it's always nice to come and say hi, and like if you're a fan or you're just a friend, it's just, you know, it's nothing personal if you see us. For me, for example, a lot of people say, she never say hi. I have very bad vision, like very bad, and I just don't see people.
Okay.
And when they pass me, I don't have a clue who was it. So yeah, but I think it's nothing personal. It's just... you're so much inside of yourself, then you cannot just be present in 1 second. Yeah, but if you want to say hi, it's always possible.
It's always possible. Yeah. So if she doesn't recognize you, that's just not... she's not a rude person.
It's
not intentional.
3 p.m. and 5 p.m. you can come.
Book appointment and then please go to my secretary, Thomas, and me, and say you are here, and then I just gladly take you in my office. Yes, thank you very much that you came to our podcast and that you did this interview with us. It was very nice, very insightful, and very good information for all our young listeners, especially to get to a better level of dancing, that's for sure. Thank you very much
for having us.
Thank you.
And if you want to see Violetta and Thomas dancing, then you can do this in the German Open. I think you will take part in this.
Yes.
Of course.
So, of course.
Our favorite competition.
There's the Grand Slam in standard dances. It will take place on the 11th of August. I mean, you will dance on the 11th of August. It will already take start on the 10th of August with the first rounds. But you are so good that you are free from this, from the first two rounds. You just started the third round. And this will take on 11th August. It's a Friday. If you want to come and see them, then just buy a ticket and watch them and cheer to them, because they are really great and really nice people and really great dancers, and they will achieve very good results for our nice German country.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And of course, Marius Christina will also dance there. They are on 12th of August on the Grand Slam Latin. And you can also see many, many different competitions on the German Open Championship. I think there is each class represented. And first time also this year, solo competitions for girls and boys. So this is also a premiere. We will have also tomorrow here on the Dancecom premiere of solo dances, which is also a great thing. What do you think about this? So this is the solo part.
I think it's very good, because especially when you're searching for a partner, you already start to lose any faith that you will compete again. This gives you at least experience and, you know, this feeling of competitive dancing.
I think that as many people as dancing is better, just better for everything.
Yeah.
And you give just the chance to everybody to dance, and even on German Open. So you can say, even I don't have a partner, I dance German Open.
Yes.
So it's also something, it's very nice. Yes. Then we have done, and I wish you good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Best of
thank
luck. You. And then all to all out our listeners, have a great rest of your day and enjoy the German Open, hopefully. And then we will see us next time in our podcast from Parkett ans Mikro. Goodbye and bye-bye to you.
Bye-bye.